This is Anomaly from WoWAnalyzer.com, and you're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Think of it! An all-shaman expansion to World of Warcraft!
And Daryl.
We'll call it ShamWow! The thing, it sells itself!
Hey, good morning. It's, super early. I guess not really. 9:30 is not that. welcome to episode 225 of The Training Dummies, recorded on October 13th, 2018. My name is Rob, and I guess I'm matching hat bro with
I just Daryl noticed today. That, too.
We're hat bros. Hey, we're celebrating our wins last night. Friday night's our raid night, and we pushed through a full normal clear and then got a couple of progression brand new bosses in heroic, which isn't really a surprise because normally the first two bosses are like, you can do it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but still no weapon. So, whatevs. We'll get on with it. I was going to talk about something coming up, but one of the reviews we got recently, somebody was irritated that we talk so much about ourselves, you know, as if this isn't my podcast. But
no kidding, eh?
Hey, welcome you guys in the chat room. Thank you so much. I guess there are some people that don't have kids that are morning risers. So.
Oh, hey, there's two. Wow.
good to see you in there, guys. Today's a very, very special episode. We're back into the class guide series. Oh, Daryl, I didn't even ask you how you were doing. See, when you don't have your coffee yet, you struggle a little bit.
I got mine too.
Real quick, then before we dive into everything and catch up with our guest, Daryl, what have you been up to, man? Besides the exact same thing I've been up to.
Yeah, pretty much exact same thing. I'll be up again early tomorrow morning as I'm running a 15K race at 10 a.m. So yeah, that's my exciting news, whatever.
15K, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what I'm doing, but we'll see.
I'm jealous though, because and like I was saying, I don't spend a whole lot of time on this, but I did get an injury recently, and I can't run or do any sort of elliptical or treadmill or outdoor running or anything right now, and it's going to be probably several weeks of nursing that recovery. So yeah. But, you know, I'm still in the gym, still trying to do some weight stuff, still doing some core stuff. So we're doing it. We're strong. We're, BlizzCon Fitness looks different than it did a couple weeks ago, but I'm still committed to it. So,
all right. That's awesome.
Awesome. Well, we've got a very, very special guest. Like I said, back to the class guide series and all the way from across the pond. Can we get a warm Training Dummies welcome for Word Up? Dude, thank you so much. I think part of the reason we're recording so early is because of just trying to nail down the time schedule. So thank you so much for making the time to come hang out with us and talk Warcraft.
Yeah, there's a big time gap between us.
Yeah,
from all the way over here.
Why don't if nobody knows who you are, because you have been on the show before, but we have some new listeners and some folks in the chat room. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to and your background with gaming and the guide writing and just how you're doing?
Well, I write the enhancement shaman guides on Wowhead and Icy Veins, and I do a couple of other classes on Icy Veins as well. And I've been playing enhancement for the better part of 12 years now, suffering through it and being good. At different times. but it's been my thing, I suppose, for a really long time. I play a lot of WoW, raids predominantly.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of been my thing.
What was your favorite era of enhancement?
Mists. By a really big margin.
Yeah,
that was my favorite expansion.
Yeah. I remember Siege of Orgrimmar, where we had two enhancement shaman at the time. And boy, they came in and did some work.
Yeah,
that was a good time. Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, that was the most fun I remember having.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I think I was I still doing? No, that was part of when I was shifting away from my shaman. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Because it was right around Hellfire Citadel that you were just like, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I do still play it.
Bad era to miss, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Excuse me. All right. Awesome. Well, do you have any other questions,
Rob? Any other question? No, nope. I'm good. I'm ready to
all
do
right,
this.
Let's get into this enhancement, because this is, I am leveling. I've got it almost to 120, so I do need the help. All right. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland. Myself, Daryl, is at Daryl_TTD. And also, if you like the show and want to support us, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/trainingdummies. No obligation, of course. We're just happy that you listen. So I was having trouble with Elemental. That's what I was all last expansion when I played Mashaman. And I felt I was very weak as I was leveling. So I decided to go back to Enhancement. And the last time I really played Enhancement was probably Warlords, and not even much then. So I'm going to give you an idea of how badly I need this class guide. I was killing a couple mobs, and Maelstrom proc'd. So it was like the same icon that it used to be, right? I'm like, oh, great. I could fire off some free lightning bolts. I started firing off free lightning bolts because my Maelstrom proc'd. And it wasn't until I started reading some stuff later, there is no cast time on lightning bolt anyway. So I don't know what I'm doing at all anymore. That's how much has changed since I've played it last.
One job.
Yeah,
well, that's, I know, the full Legion rework that we got, basically.
Yeah, exactly, because I didn't play at all Enhancement at all in Legion, so that was kind of an eye opener for me. Like, yeah, I need some help, as these free no cast lightning bolts are standard anyway, and I don't know what this Maelstrom proc means, but it's not that anymore. So let's get into this. Let's start with the stats. What are the main stats we're looking for? Since that everything kind of builds off of that.
Well, these days, although it's a bit hard for you to really decide what stats you can put on with BFA, because it's whatever gear you can get, usually.
Pretty much, yeah.
We're still, like, a heavy haste-favored spec. Like, we have been for a really long time. and then after that, you can sort of mix in crit and verse quite a bit lower. They're, like, the middle of the ground stats, and then mastery is a lot worse. But you get the added effect that mastery is much better in cleave and AoE, and since most of the things you're doing in BFA, there's quite a bit of cleave and AoE going on. You can kind of just treat it as it's as good as crit and verse most of the time. So it's quite flexible. It's just haste and whatever else you can get, really, depending on what you're doing.
All right.
Do we have this in here? What enchants are you using? I guess mainly haste. Then what do you want to put on your weapons?
Oh, well, you always put one haste on. You never double up enchants.
Yeah, Rob.
I learned that last night.
Yeah, have. Rob.
Yeah.
Okay, sidebar real quick. I swear I read somewhere that, or heard on another podcast, somebody was like, yeah, just go ahead and double up the haste enchants on your weapons. Or maybe somebody was saying that they were trying that out in beta and they weren't sure. But yeah, I went for the double haste, and I've been doing that for a while. And then last night somebody was like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, they're a weird thing, because they only, like, accumulate into one of the big buffs from navigation. Mm-hmm. They sort of eat each other's procs up in the process. So you want to, like, mix and match them. And yeah. So generally, it's always a haste on. And since, like I said, with the cleave and AoE, and most of the time you do Mythic Plus in raids, in all the most of the fights have got some kind of it, then I stick with mastery on the offhand.
Okay.
All right. And that's pretty much across the board what's being used.
Sounds good.
Right on.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'll take my moment and make that a teaching moment. And in case anybody doesn't want to admit that they didn't know that either. Don't double up on weapon enchants if you're using multiple weapons.
That's good stuff. All right. Let's get into the talents then. Now, looking at this already, I know I've got a problem, because I set all my talents probably a couple weeks ago. And then I was busy doing other stuff, and then I went back to my shaman this week, and already I can see a problem I had is I never put my lightning shield on, even though I have the lightning shield talent the last time I played. Like, I completely forgot. So I don't even know if that's the best talent for that role, but if you want to start at, like, tier 15, and we'll just work our way through the talents and, you know, what's the best, maybe single target AoE options. Are there any trap talents this time around?
Oh, don't worry, everyone forgets to put lightning shield on. I've got a big flashing alert.
Yeah, tell me,
because I've been doing it for ages. Need. That's what I need.
Yeah. Hey, dude, put your thing on. A little like that summon your pet one.
Yeah, I know. I love that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the enhancement talent tree is it's not very good, if I'm brutally honest, there's a lot of like bad talents in there. I know that there's like a lot of bad press with some specs in BFA at the moment, and Enhancement's main thing is that the talent tree is not very good. It's not the how much damage it's doing kind of thing.
But okay.
With tier 15, you're pretty much, you only take lightning shields. The other two are noticeably worse in like all circumstances.
Okay, right. That's easy. But there's a
passive much
ones.
Less consistent. Well, lightning shield is kind of passive. You could maybe say it's passive. You don't have to do that much. The only active one really is Hot Hand, and Hot Hand is, you can mess Hot Hand up is the biggest thing. And you don't gain any damage from playing it perfectly, which in practice makes it even worse than Lightning Shield.
Oh, okay.
If you follow that.
Right, gotcha. All right.
And then Boulder Fist is the most extreme version of a trap talent, because you can never realistically fulfill the amount of global cooldowns that you'd need to get value out of it right now.
All right.
Because you're busy pressing other buttons. So it basically just gets worse and worse the better other parts of the toolkit are working.
You know, I always liked Boulder Fist just because it was passive and it felt good. And I think it was in Legion, I want to say it was pretty decent. But okay, so no more Boulder Fist.
It was in a different place and competing with different things in Legion. So it wasn't as bad.
Uh-huh.
For level 30, it's just Forceful Winds. Again, Landslide is really, really inconsistent. And only single target, generally. It's got a very small amount of cleave gain.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Forceful Winds works really well in AoE and in single target. It really like amplifies Wind Fury strength. And Totem Mastery is probably the simplest to play, generally, because you just put the totems down. But you also have to keep refreshing them every 2 minutes. There's quite a lot of people who don't like that sort of gameplay loop. And the gain from it, it's very average. It's sort of like set up as the always does something, but never does it amazing kind of talent.
Oh,
Forceful
okay,
Winds
gotcha.
Does right. always does something really good.
Okay,
cool. Well, I'm 2 for 2 so far, though. That's good.
And, well,
it doesn't matter if you're not using Lightning Shield.
You've not got it on yet.
All right, 45.
45 is it's sort of a utility one, so it's sort of what you opt into.
Right.
You can make arguments for all three. Static Charge is good in Mythic Plus when you're stunning a lot. You want to get a lot of CC down on big pulls.
Right.
And so you want to keep rolling it. Earth Shield is a bit of extra self-healing, which can be really useful, especially in like things like PvP or open world or like a couple of raid bosses.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spirit Wolf is probably like the most flexible. It's the most raid-oriented talent.
Okay.
It's giving you movement or defense. Mm-hmm. Really, really good on some specific bosses. So that's generally what I tend to lead squad using.
All right, yeah, okay. I have that one as well. I have a question about Earth Shield. Does that stack with Lightning Shield or no?
Yeah, you can have both.
Oh, you can? Though, okay, cool.
You'll notice that they don't spin at the same speed, and a lot of people really hate that. So the two balls going around get out of sync.
That's probably because a lot of people hear these episodes and they're like, man, that sounds great. I want to try that. And so maybe I would say for leveling, maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Earth Shield is pretty good for leveling. It gives you a little more survivability and, you know, you can go. And if you pull a couple extra mobs, you're not quite as fragile, I guess.
Oh, for leveling Earth Shields, if you're alone, definitely the ideal one, because you'll keep yourself much more topped.
Good to know.
Unless you've got like a lot of gear and you're really plowing through it, then the speed from Spirit Wolf will help you. But otherwise, Earth Shield is the safe choice.
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, we've talked about this several times, though. You hit a point once you hit like 116, 117, you know, when you're leveling up, where the scaling really catches up and kicks in, and it doesn't matter what, you know, you can't out gear it at that point. So
yeah, it slows you all the way down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anything that you can do for just to make it easier on yourself. You know, I don't mind a couple extra seconds killing a mob if I'm not struggling at 10% health the whole time. So, all right. Sorry to butt in with that there. So, that was 45. So on to 60 or
60 is probably the worst balanced tier right now. And it's you just pick Searing Assault. It's the only one that's, worth taking, because like with other talents, the other two really get in the way of the rotation, and you can make mistakes with them that can really punish you.
Okay.
Very little gain. Where Syrian Assault, you can't really ever play it wrong because it's just pressing Flame Tongue does a bit more damage. And it does more damage in that process than if you perfectly used either Hailstorm or Overcharge. Because they eat resource globals and so on. So there's like a knock-on effect with both of those because they're not impactful enough.
Okay.
That's I don't know, like, it doesn't... You know, it sucks that they don't have options, that they're not, like, a little more balanced. But when one is clearly the winner and you don't have to try to push a more complicated playstyle, it's kind of okay, right?
I don't... for me, this talent is the one that I dislike the most on the tier for being the best. If only because if it is so simple, it's fine to compete with the other ones or be even. But the other ones need to have like a hook that at least in a certain circumstance, they'd be really strong. They don't necessarily have to always be better, but like you could pick them and if you play it well there, it's really good, but they don't have that. Because a talent shouldn't be easy and it feel bad that you pick it by it doing worse, but it should feel like, if you want to really push it, you should have flexibility in your talent choices.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha. That makes sense.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Right. 75, that's another utility one. Generally, it's like a mix of defense or mobility, so it depends on the encounter or what you're doing. Generally speaking, it's not everyone's, because this one's really down to personal choice. I use Nature's Guardian because it's like a little bit of extra survival, and you don't have to worry about it. It's going to proc when you go low, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. I like those.
Yeah, I've got this one as well.
And then you've got Feral Lunge, which is basically like a slightly worse warrior charge, which is just a bit of extra personal mobility. They're great for some encounters again. It's good for like, there's very specific encounters that it's been very good on. Things like, Jaden and Fetid Devourer to block the knockback because it'll displace you back. But otherwise, very sort of standard middle of the road, little bit of extra movement if you need it. And then the last one, which does get used quite frequently, if the boss or like the dungeon or whatever that you're doing needs it, is Windrush Totem, which is like our version of Stampede and Roar. The raid move speed. And certain encounters, it massively helps to be able to speed up the rest of your raids. It's like the selfless option of the two because it's the one that helps everyone, not just you.
But it's
a longer cooldown, less frequent. And you need to really like know when to use it to make a gain out of it.
So
yeah, I imagine there's a couple of fights where you really need that kind of on-demand movement.
Which one would you say, like in Uldir right now, where would be a good spot for that?
Right now in Uldir, the bosses that it's really useful for, from a mythic perspective, is Mother, Zekvos. You can make a case for it on Vectis, but not super necessary. Mm-hmm. It can be useful on Fetid, but then it competes with Feral Lunge. Which is the fight that's like a strange one there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's sort of useful on Gahoon. You can find places to use it. But depending on the difficulty that you're doing Gahoon, the more and more it becomes helpful to have Nature's Guardian because there's a lot of chances for you to just fall flat. So a little bit of extra safety for you is really important.
Right. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Level 90. What do we got here?
Level 90 is always Sundering.
Man, I'm doing perfect this morning.
It's like you read his guide in advance and took the talents that he told you to take.
But I don't think I did. I think I just picked something. I don't think I read the guide for this. Maybe I did.
Sundering already sounds the coolest when you look at it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got the flavor. So
it's just Sundering does... It's all front-loaded burst AoE on a cooldown. But it does enough damage to be relevant in single target, to be worth pressing.
Oh, it's quite cheap.
There's no real like maintenance stuff, it's just a cooldown that you use. It does a lot of damage in AoE, and it's an interrupt as well. It's a knockdown, which sort of pseudo-interrupts things.
Right.
Your Fury of Air is a big drain, it can mess up. It messes with your rotation a bit, because you've got fluctuation in your maelstrom that you don't normally... expect, and the damage it does for that is pretty average, especially compared to Sundering. If you compare that, Sundering does it all at once instead of taking a long time to wind it up and still not equaling that number. And Crashing Storm is sort of like the passive thing because you're already pressing Crash Lightning in AoE. It's just putting a pool on the grounds, getting a bit of extra damage from that. But the things that you're hitting need to stay in it, which frequently a lot of things tend to move around, and it's quite a strict circle that, it places on the ground. If they move out of that, then you lose the damage, then it slowly but surely starts to fall behind. So it's just Sundering's again, it's the, you can mess it up because it's a cooldown, but as, if you get it right, it's so much better that it's it's really hard to not aim for that.
All right. All right, I'm curious about the last one here. This one, I might have something wrong on this one.
This one is the one where you do get a choice. This is probably the only tier where you do for damage. But generally, the two options that people go with is Elemental Spirits or Ascendants. They both work. Earthen Spike can keep up in fringe circumstances, but again, because it's not a cooldown, it doesn't front load it. It's so much more liable to have like a fight not lean into it, like because you need to use it dead on cooldown to keep up over the time. It's got a bit of a requirement for some luck when it's up because it's only procking, it's only gaining damage on things like Storm Strike, which you don't have control over. So that one sort of sits out. But the other two, Elemental Spirits is great as a, like, it's a cooldown reduction on Feral Spirit, which is your main cooldown anyway, so you get to use that more often. And the elemental buffs that it gives, they don't really alter your rotation, which is a really common question that we get. Aside from the fact that if you get, say, two fire wolves when you press Sundering, it's going to hit really, really hard. Because that's the primary, like, AoE fire damage that we have. And the lightning ones, they can gain a lot in AoE because they're procking Wind Fury from Crash Lightning, which is stacking up the Forceful Winds talent that you take earlier, and making the Wind Furies roll up much faster. You get bigger Storm Strikes from the extra procs, and it's like a really nice feedback loop with that.
Awesome. Daryl, I remember back in the day, Ascendants was like your... you did not like that talent.
Which is exactly why I picked Elemental Spirits on this tier.
I was going to say, have you come around, or are you still avoiding that one?
I'm still avoiding it.
It looks awesome, though. You turn into that big old cool, like, elemental kind of earth thing. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Ascendants is like the... It's a lot of damage at once, but it's a 3-minute cooldown. It lines up so well in Aldir that it's really hard to argue against using it, but Elemental Spirits does still work fine. There's just there's quite a bit of things in Aldir that it makes a lot of sense to like lean into that kind of cooldown timing instead of the other. But it's also a case of you do need a little bit of luck with procs inside it, even with it mitigating the RNG. It is on the global cooldown now, which is the only thing that impacted enhancement, and it's a little bit weird to get used to for a few people. But if you can time it well, it is just it's just a nice big strong cooldown to add into it. Generally, between those talents, the way that I make the decision is where the timing on a fight lines up. If whichever one is more convenient, that's the one I pick. Unless it's Mythic Plus, in which I always take Elemental Spirits because it's in those circumstances, because you've got a lot of downtime when in between packs.
Right.
Gotcha. Now, I believe in Legion was when some of the big redesign happened and we moved away from using mana as our resource. So what's happened with Enhancement Shaman now is a little more of the builder spender style of play, right?
In Legion, they shifted the whole Maelstrom weapon, slow stacking proc, the kind of a resource, but it's not thing to fuel you pressing Lightning Bolt, and being based on your ability cooldowns sort of rolling between each other, and then you just trying to make sure that you fill every global cooldown with a button. Now it has a resource. In Legion, it did matter. There was a lot of like management of you balancing it in sort of a sweet spot of the right amount of Maelstrom to always be able to press a button. And I imagine the intent of BFA was to keep that going, but the way that they redesigned the talents that became good, they basically added a lot of ways to get more Maelstrom, but not a lot of ways to spend more. So what tends to happen when you have a system like that is, when certain things happen, like when Lightning Shield procs, or you get a lot of Wind Fury procs back to back, or you have Ascendance or Feral Spirit up, you just get so much that you can't spend it. And so you just cap it. And the weird thing that I agree with a lot of people who come and ask about it, it doesn't feel right to let that happen, to just simply let your resource disappear. But unfortunately, with the way that the spec is designed, in that the absolute best button to press always, all the time, is Stormstrike.
Okay.
And you get procs that can chain back to back. So you will always be pressing it, and that when the procs happen, it's free. Okay. That just means that the maelstrom accumulates up and up, and then it overflows, and then you stop getting procs, and then you drain it back down with Lava Lash, and that'll repeat again.
Okay.
Okay. So
is that kind of the single target approach to things? You want to, is there anything, maybe we can get into the rotations a little bit here?
Well, in single target, it's the same thing follows. It's just, if Stormstrike is ready, generally speaking, the easiest way to approach it is, if it's ready, then you'll be pressing that. You want to get it on cooldown, and you want to spend your proc immediately when that happens. After that, you maintain the Flame Tongue buff. It's pretty simple. You don't need to play around Searing Assault. That'll just be like an extra button to press.
So Flame Tongue, what is that buffing? Is that buffing your weapon then?
What Flame Tongue does is that whenever you do a direct melee hit, so that's like Storm Strike, that'll proc it twice. Melee attacks, they'll proc it each. Wind Fury is a proc each for each hit. All your abilities that deal a weapon swing, will mm-hmm. proc it.
Okay. And to keep it on, you just hit it when it's, you know, 1 or 2 seconds left or something like that?
You've got the pandemic window, like a lot of dots and other buffs.
Right.
So you've got anywhere underneath, this very specific is 4.8 seconds. Anywhere under that, you can refresh and lose nothing. But as long as you've got a bit of time right at the tail end of the buff to refresh it and not lose anything.
Is this something that you need to really keep an eye on with a weak aura or when you're tracking things, or is it kind of happen naturally anyways?
Generally, it is something that it's easier to track it. Just for the peace of mind to not forget when not pressed it that it's not up. And it often as well, because of the way that the resource and buttons tend to ebb and flow with it,
mm-hmm.
it can sometimes, because it's completely free, mm-hmm. be just used on cooldown rather than at the exact timing window, because it does have a short cooldown, but it's nowhere near as long as the buff lasts. So it can end up just being a filler as well in itself.
Okay, because I think that's what I've been doing is basically using that on cooldown, right? It's a button, another button to press. So, you know, if it was available, I was using Flame Tongue. So, okay.
Yeah,
so that's not...
So that does work, but like if you want to get into like the little bits with it, it's a bit lower priority than the other buttons that you can press, but it's not like the end of the world to press it on cooldown.
Okay.
Especially since using Searing Assault, that shores up the strength of the button. So it becomes pretty freeform to just mm-hmm. use it.
Okay, gotcha.
It's quite reasonably intuitive as a button.
Okay, cool.
Then the other stuff you go down, you'll be pressed. Well, you ideally be saving Sundering for AoE, but if you don't need to, then you'll press that for just to keep it on cooldown. It's a big hit; it's worth a lot.
Okay.
And then any maelstrom you have after that point, if you have a reasonable surplus, like around 50 or 60, you'll be pressing Lava Lash. And then after that, you just hit Rock Biter if it's ready, and you basically just go down that list of what's ready and what can I press right now.
Okay.
In that order, and that's a really simple way of just, like it's a every global cooldown checklist that you go through as to what do I have and what am I going to have for the next few seconds, and you just press like that.
So, do you feel like that enhancement's a busy spec? Is there always something to do every single GCD?
It's not the busiest, but it can be quite overwhelming in the amount of buttons that you can potentially press. And mm-hmm. knowing which one to. But I think despite the other flaws in the spec, it does do a reasonably good job of conveying what you should be pressing already in the game. It's not very subtle that Stormstrike does a lot of damage and that they glows on the bar and you've got a big flashy in-game weak aura. Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear cut. They want you to press it.
Right, okay.
So I feel that because of that, whilst it may appear kind of overwhelming the first time that someone picks it up or anything, it does sort of come kind of naturally to a lot of people, with a lot less time than other specs that tend to keep things under the hood. Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that a few people may have been stung a little bit from playing it in Legion, where in Legion people got to such a high rate of haste. That then it did become a really busy spec because you always had something to press and you had a reduced like window of time between your globals to prepare yourself for the next global.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's a little bit slower. You've not got as much haste. you've usually got a little bit more time to react to what you intend to be pressing.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And you can just sort of go with that pace.
So Brett's asking if the it seems like the redesign of Shaman is more of a throwback to the old play style, which I'm not really sure because I never touched enhancement before, but do you feel like this is more of a reflection of like original old classic Shaman, or is this like, you know, the Maelstrom is a whole different thing? Or
I think it's much more Legion than it is before Legion.
Okay.
In the way that it works. Because okay, yeah, the overriding factor on it is the unpredictable Stormbringer procs. That's like the driving force of the damage that you do most of the time. And the rest of it is sort of like the supporting cast that just sit back and, you know, stand in the shadow of how good Stormstrike is. And that's the same thing that basically happened throughout the whole of Legion.
Yeah.
Whereas in expansions before that, in like Warlords and Mists and everything, they were all sort of, every button that you press that was part of the rotation are all relevant. They all sort of come together in one thing, and you always want to keep them sort of juggled to not be wasting any cooldown on them and making the most out of them. And then you have the slow build of Maelstrom Weapon, which you, whilst it was slightly random, it was predictable enough that you could expect when you were going to be pressing it. Whereas with Stormbringer, it's completely up in the air. You might press it 10 times in a row, and you might not press it for a minute kind of gaps.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gotcha.
All right, so AoE, how is that different?
AoE is... I think we might have the simplest AoE in the game.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Right now, because...
More than Demon Hunters?
Demon Hunters are really good allegory to make with it, because the way that our AoE is basically there's crash lightning and you just put that in the rotation, and then everything else, well, your other two spenders in Stormstrike and Lava Lash now cleave with that buff up, so it's just one extra button that you slot in.
Okay.
Oh, really?
You just press that, and that does the work.
You have everything the same, but now you've got cleave.
It's the same rotation plus that button that you weave in every 5 to 10 seconds, depending on the number of targets around.
All right, I had no idea.
That's kind of nice, right? So you're not having to, you're adding in a buff, basically.
The button itself has got like a lot of moving parts to it, but generally for gameplay, you don't need to know quite a bit of it. But it's a very weighty spell with the amount of stuff tied to it.
Okay.
And they've also tuned it to actually be relevant, because one of the big problems in Legion was our AoE sort of really fell off. It was the same button, but now it's got a bit more. Simply just does a bit more damage, and the effects that proc from it are more relevant as well, because it procs. The direct hits can proc Wind Fury and anything it hits, so you can get a lot of spread Wind Fury, which is traditionally just single target. Then the hits from Crash can all proc Stormbringer, so that's more chances per cast than any other spell. And then the Wind Furies that proc in AoE can also proc Stormbringer, so it comes like it's really nice feedback loop of pressing the button, pressing Stormstrike more in AoE, and then you sort of bounce between them. So when AoE is happening, it accentuates your single target as well. So it makes us similar to other specs that can like convert AoE damage into damage onto just one important target.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I do feel I have to ask, what is Stormbringer?
Stormbringer is a proc that has a low chance to happen off pretty much anything that you can cast now.
Okay.
So any melee attack, or something that's considered a melee attack, so it includes Rock Biter and Flame Tongue casts as well, has a 5% plus a little bit from mastery, but it takes a lot of mastery to really increase that. A chance to reset the cooldown of Storm Strike, make it free, and eat the cooldown. That's what the old Maelstrom aura is used for.
So when I saw that proc, it wasn't, you can now cast like free, no mana, no cost, or no cast time lightning bolts to now that Stormbringer procing. Okay.
Yeah, so that means that your your Stormstrike's now free. It does 25% more damage when you press it, and when you consume the buff, the proc, it'll automatically reset the cooldown Stormstrike again, so you get to do a back-to-back Stormstrike immediately when that procs.
Right, okay. Cool.
Yeah, that feels good, those Storm Strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, I was going ham on that Lightning Bolt, though. Oh, yeah, sweet.
I guess, what, take it off your bars now? I don't know.
Yeah,
Lightning Bolt's like Lightning Bolt basically just becomes sort of something like that you hit when you're out of range or if you want to pull things. Yeah. Instant. It resets the swing timer in melee, unless you've got overcharge taken, meaning that it's really bad to press it when you're actually in combat.
You got that, girl.
but otherwise, it's just sort of like it's like a little extra tool.
Right. Nice. All right, let's get into some... what are our main cooldowns, then?
The only baseline one that we really have is Feral Spirit, which is pretty much the same as it always has been at the baseline, except for with the Legion edition, where they also made them generate Maelstrom when they auto-attack, which was kind of important to give it an actual tangible feeling to the rotation, because before it was just you press them, they spawn, they hit something, it's just damage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And generally, you just use them whenever you have them, unless you need to save them for a specific time in a boss or anything like that. You just use them, and the Maelstrom will happen. It'll very likely overload you with Maelstrom if you've got anything else going on. Okay. But you don't need to worry about it. It's just sort of like it's basically like the 15 seconds of free reign to press whatever you want.
Okay, cool.
And by whatever you want, I mean, you can press Lava Lash a lot more when you haven't got anything better to press at the simplest level.
All right.
That's funny.
That works.
And the other cooldowns is the 100 tier that you talked about before.
Right.
Which is either making Feral Spirits better with Elemental Spirits or or Ascendants if you need a 3-minute front-loaded cooldown.
All right, so you mentioned here in the notes is having Sundering ready for in case you get a Fire Dog.
So Elemental Spirit spawns one of three elements. It's either a Frost, a Fire, or a Lightning.
Okay.
But you get two dogs, so you could get two Frost, two Fire, one Frost, and so on. And Sundering is Flame Strike damage as its school, which means that it's Fire plus Physical. So it'll get gain from anything that buffs Fire or Physical, and then mash it all together into like one big calculated hit. So the fire dogs that spawn, they increase the all fire damage you do.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay.
So when you get a proc of that, then Sundering, which is already really strong in AoE, is even better. And Sundering tends to almost naturally line up with the Elemental Spirits cooldown, where you'll press it, you'll use Sundering, and then you'll use it once in between the cooldown, and then it'll be ready for the next one.
This feels like a lot of RNG. Like, you're hoping for this to happen, and if it does happen, you hope that it's a certain version of that happening, and you're hoping for a lot of procs and the right kind of procs.
There is quite a lot of a variance in RNG in it. It was a lot worse in Legion. I'll say that, at least for it. But there is definitely part of the Legion problem is not only was it RNG that you could feel, there was also RNG going on that you couldn't necessarily feel or notice, but was definitely happening to you. If you actually went and looked through your logs and everything, you could see evidence of things that you wouldn't normally notice. Whereas, at least now, the only real RNG that's going on, you know it's gone on. Okay. You couldn't have like a pull where you felt like you were really like going hell to leather and absolutely slamming the boss, and then you look at the damage meter after and you're like trailing the bottom, and then you look at your logs and it's because of something that you had no idea that had happened.
Yeah.
Right, gotcha.
I wonder, it sounds like there's some decisions here too, at least, right? Like, so if you see something like, you know, Sundering, you pair that up with, you know, if you get the proper elemental spirits and whatnot.
Brett, there's some little minutiae going on.
Brett in the chat rooms is asking, do you feel like this is fun to play? And the reason he's saying that is because, you know, we talked about one of our friends back and then, you know, played with us for many years up in the Mists, and I think Legion just kind of killed it for him, and he's kind of hasn't really dipped back in, and we've been trying to talk him into coming back, but Enhancement is his jam. And do you feel like the state of Enhancement right now is something that would bring back somebody who really enjoyed it back in the day, or?
Right now, Enhancement is... I don't know if you follow like forums and Reddit and all those places. And I don't entirely agree with the general thing that people are saying, but there's a lot of people who are very unhappy about the fact that, Shaman in the beta and the alpha, especially Enhancement, seemed like it was about halfway through the process of being like tuned up and reworked a little bit from the Legion stuff to shore up some of the problems that it was having. And then, it sort of stopped. And they never finished the rework stuff that they started. And so at the tail end, they just sort of had to slap some fixes on to at least make it kind of work.
Okay.
And that's to anyone who didn't play it in the alpha or follow it and so on, they wouldn't necessarily notice that happening, but there's quite a few things that happened that indicate that it changed stuff from Legion for the worst, and it was to give room for them to add something in that they never did.
Okay.
That's my conspiracy theory on it anyway.
Are we expecting 8.1 to address that? Because I know, there's been a lot of Shadow Priests and Shaman talk for a while now that was on the table, but...
I mean, it was said, but nothing's been put in yet. I truly hope they do, because it does need something to be looked at. In particular, it's the talent issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, I mean, with regards to whether it's fun to play, I personally enjoy it most of the time. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. But it's the same thing as Legion, where I enjoyed it most of the time. And sometimes I really enjoyed it, and sometimes I really didn't. But I think that's true for a lot of classes generally.
Yeah.
Always.
It doesn't really feel better than the older expansions, but it's got its moments, it's got its quirks. I don't think it's ever going to be the same kind of thing that it was in Mop and mm-hmm. Wad and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'd say it's still relatively similar kind of spec. It's just that you need to look at it in a slightly different way as to how you look at the abilities. So, like, to me, in my head, Stormstrike is similar to how it always was, but Stormbringer is basically the old Maelstrom weapon, but slightly different. Right. Your Maelstrom bar, with regards to the fact that you're only really using it on Lava Lash, is basically the old cooldown charges that you had on Lava Lash. Because the Maelstrom dictates, you can only really press it twice for a full bar. So it's sort of very similar kind of play to that. And then Rockbiter has charges. That's basically the same as the old Stormstrike charges from, like, Wad and so on. So it's definitely got that sort of vibe to it. Mm-hmm. It's just not as, like, a clear-cut, easy to...
Yeah, it's kind of reskinned a little
convert
bit.
Convert to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. That makes sense.
All right. Well, let's get into some trinkets and Azurite here, because it's always... That's always a big point of contention in every expansion here for the last little while. It feels like, you know, what trinkets you have, there's always a best one. Now we're adding to that what traits there are. So is there any traits that we want to be looking for?
With Azurite traits, generally speaking, it's a hard one because the Shaman and the Enhancement ones especially are relatively simple. They're quite dull. And they're not like, there's nothing explosive where you get it and it changes the way the world works or anything. So most of the time, thanks to I like the tool Blood Mallet on the sheet. That's like a reasonably good, chart of trait rankings. And it can be trusted fairly well because most of the time you just pick the trait that provides the most damage. And quite a lot of them are shared across all specs. There's quite a few neutral ones.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job with the upkeep on that site. I guess, you know, anytime something changes or it's constantly being simmed so that the info on that site is pretty up to speed from what I can tell.
Yeah. So the only single trait that I would consider is like a weird, it's got a thing is Ancestral Resonance, which is a big mastery buff during Bloodlust. So that's like a huge amp to the damage that you're doing during the time when you're doing the most damage.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, like, works with itself, and it's also only activated when you press Bloodlust, not strictly when you have Bloodlust up.
So since the Bloodlust
cooldown is lower than Sated, you can get it more than once. And because Mastery is so good in AoE, you can then line it up with time when you're doing AoE, get a huge surge in damage. And that's the only one, though, out of all of the traits that I've found anything that you can really play around or play into.
That's kind of cool, though. Huh.
So you have to be the one to cast Bloodlust then, huh? Is that
right? If someone else uses Bloodlust, so like say a mage time warps, you could then just press your Bloodlust button anyway and you'd get the buff.
Then
5 minutes later you're still sated, but you can press Bloodlust, you press it again and you'll get the buff rolling again.
That's cool.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
That's kinda neat.
Yeah. That gives you a little bit of something to do besides a 10-minute button, you know?
It's basically an extra cooldown that you add into your kit.
Yeah. All right.
Advanced tips and tricks. Now, this is always a good section because there's, you know, some of the players, like especially like an alt, I'm not going to pick up some of this stuff. But what are some of the advanced things that I can do to help me along here?
Right. So the first, the easiest thing for someone to learn if they want to like get a little bit better at damage at least is Crash Lightning being the AoE tool. There's a lot of little things that you can do with it that won't break the bank, and sometimes you just do them accidentally, but being aware of them is really useful. So since it's the most likely way to proc Stormbringer, if there's extra targets available, you want to really try and orient yourself to like hit the most number of things. So okay. If like they're in an arc around it, you're going to want to adjust to hit all of them, not just like a few.
Gotcha.
Because okay. Then you're going to get the Stormbringers, so and then like you're going to feedback.
Kind of stuff.
Because it's like a 180 arc in front of you, right. You'll always want to be able to anchor off your primary target that you want to deal the damage to and make sure that the arc is around them.
Okay. Which is probably really important in like Mythic Plus.
In Mythic Plus and in quite a few Mythic bosses based on where adds are being tanked, it's really crucial.
Yeah. Okay.
If you do that, if you do that wrong,
it's not Vectis. What's the other one?
Zul is a big one for it.
Oh yeah.
In particular on Mythic is really, really important to make sure that you're hitting things you're supposed to hit and not hitting things you're not supposed to be hitting.
Oh yeah, with some of the, I don't know how Mythic works, but I know you know the other methods or modes. You really have to CC a couple of those adds until you can get to them.
Oh, Mythic is an entirely different beast with that. So, and it's a bit of a mess to. But it's also really important that say there's only one add that's spawning. So Vectis is a good example. The Crash Lightning buff still works in single target as long as you have the buff on you, so it will be an extra hit that hits your primary target with Storm Strike and Lava Lash as well. So you want the buff up in single target too. So if there's only one add up and it's about to die, even though you could press other buttons like Storm Strike or anything like that, it's going to die within the next global cooldown, so refreshing the buff for Crash to full for the next 10 seconds where there'll be nothing else to get the buff off is going to be the highest possible gain.
Okay.
But you have to be thinking about how quick is it going to die and what else do I have available in that situation.
Yeah, that's really just like knowing when you start to get more comfortable and understanding the spec a little better, trying to make the most out of some of those buffs and stuff.
The other one is, it's sort of like a universal thing, is your cooldown management on a lot of fights is really sort of, it can be quite finicky, especially in Uldir. There's some really specific timings where you can like make or break how good your damage will realistically be.
Yeah.
I know. My personal experience was when I was setting our stuff up for Gahoon on Mythic. There's no other logs of it at the time, and so I had to map out when I'd be using them all throughout the fight because it was really important to make sure that they were ready for specific moments. So when I could afford to save them, when I could like throw them out. Obviously, it's not the kind of thing that everyone needs to do. I wouldn't even recommend that most people do it because it's very tedious.
Right.
but it's really easy to like go into a log that's performed really well and just look at when they used it and to some extent copy that as the baseline. And then if you need to manipulate it around based on your guild's tactic or anything, you can do it from that base knowledge that you have there of when you need to save Feral Spirit, for example, when you need to use it, when you need Ascendance. Things like Sundering is a really good tool to be looking at on that because they'll have looked at when adds are spawning, so they know when they can fill it in single target and when they need to like reel it in and hold it for them.
So a lot of these aren't just use on cooldown. Like a lot of stuff you're going to sit even if it's, you know, longer generally, than you want to wait for adds or...
In a normal encounter, they do just have a use on cooldown thing, but Uldir has shown like a lot of really specific timings happening on bosses in Mythic to the point where it does start manipulating when you're able to use your cooldowns if you want to be doing the encounter properly.
Okay.
So things like Fetid Devourer doing the pustules on the ground, really important to know the timings on those spawns and knowing which ones the raid is going to struggle with the most to kill based on other people's cooldowns and making sure that you have a cooldown to sort of shore that up. While still not wasting uses over the course of the fight.
Alright.
Makes cool.
Ghost Wolf is a really important tool in Uldir as well. It's very simple, like because it's on a global cooldown and you can't do damage really when you're in it. But you want to be using it to keep up with targets, to transition around, especially with Spirit Wolf, with the damage reduction that it's giving, knowing when you sort of can sit in that and take advantage of that is really good. a couple of bosses that it was extremely strong on. There's quite a few bosses where it's not that great, but when you couple it with Spirit Wolf, it was extremely strong on Vectis, because you can sit in Ghost Wolf, catch the bombs, and take less damage throughout the whole phase, and be faster getting to them. So you can be like one of the first backups to get there if something's going wrong. And on Gahoon, because Ghost Wolf stops you from being slowed below 100%, you can carry the orb quite a long distance.
Oh, wow,
on your own, without worrying about being slowed.
Nice.
For Mythic, since people abuse the gateway so much, it was fantastic to be able to like run ahead to the second and catch it from the first, and then put it in, and it'd be really quick transition.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Cool.
The Sundering use thing that goes into the cooldown thing, that it's always the first and foremost thing you want to use with Sundering. Mm-hmm. It's for AoE. It does a lot of damage in single target, but it is an AoE button first and foremost.
Right. Okay.
Because it is a big AoE button, and it will almost always be more valuable or more beneficial to make sure that it's hitting multiple targets rather than just one on cooldown.
Just a question on the Sundering. What is the arc on that? Because I know it shoots out in front of you, but like, what's the degree range that it is? Is it a triangle?
It's very specific. No, it is a dead forward line.
It's just a straight line in front of you. Okay.
And it's quite narrow as well. If I remember correctly, it's about 8 yards long, like wide from left to right.
Okay.
So it's quite specific, like what it will hit. So you need, that's another one where you need to position very specifically to make sure you hit things.
Make sure you're hitting.
In particular, on things with small hitboxes, they can be very antsy about being hit by it. But things like Mass Grip or like Sigil of Chains and things that stack them all together, they're all on top of each other, and there's no worry, then you just fire it straight through and it'll hit all of them. Yeah,
Nice, yeah. Cool. Those, if you have a tank, that can really kind of ball those things up for you.
And the last little thing that I think a few people tend to like miss is since in Older there's a lot of downtime, and in Mythic Plus as well, there's a lot of downtime where you aren't doing anything, or you're sat there waiting, or in cases you're out of range. So you could be hitting with Rock Biter, because that's a 20-yard range, or you could just be waiting on cooldowns. If you see downtime coming up, draining all your resource instead of generating it and sitting on it is going to be really useful. The only caveat is that, say that you are going to have downtime, you're all running on Gahoon, you're in the Vectis down phase, you're running to the pustules on Devourer and so on. Having a little bit of Maelstrom so you can instantly heal yourself with Healing Surge, rather than having to sit and cast, Maelstrom is making it an instant cast when you have over 25, you really, really should be considering, maybe I should save a little bit in the event that I need that.
Okay. Okay, that's good to know, because I've noticed that there's times when my Healing Surge is, you know, free to cast, it's instant, and then there's times where it's a cast time, and I was curious what that was. Okay, that explains that. Cool.
But other than that, that kind of like covers most of the sort of little tips that you can do with enhancement. Most of it is quite it's quite intuitive, that you don't need to know like really specifics to get a lot out of it.
Right. That's good for me.
Well, it does sound like the more you get to know it, the better you can kind of, you know, take advantage of some of the little stuff, you know, and knowing the fights in particular too, knowing when you want to, you know, save some of your AoE abilities and whatnot. So, Daryl, do you have any other questions?
Excuse me. Yeah. Just one. Your rock elemental, is there any times that you would be using that in like a raid situation, or is that mainly like, you know, you're soloing and you pull too much stuff and you need it to tank for you?
It's not a damage cooldown. It's the first thing to cover and like to main off, because that is something that people tend to ask with it.
Mm-hmm.
I find it's very useful in Mythic Plus if something goes wrong, or if a tank is struggling with a big pull. It will pull some things off, and it will ease up some of the pressure on them, because it is quite tanky, and it will just soak up some damage. And in extreme emergencies, in raids, when there's no tank alive and you really need something else to be getting hit instead of you, it's useful then.
Okay.
But and soloing, obviously, in soloing it's great, because that takes the beating instead of you, which is always like the main thing to think about with it. But otherwise, that's basically it's only real core use. Because the damage it deals is very low.
Yeah, minimal. Right, gotcha, okay. So it's more of a, like, yeah, if you're with others, it's an old crap button, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah, I could see some cases, you know, in a raid or a mythic plus situation, like you mentioned, if a tank's down and you're trying to push that last few percent, you can't afford to take those hits. So
yeah. All right. Cool.
Word up. Did you have any other, maybe one last or any other points you wanted to make before we start winding it down?
No, that kind of covers everything that I have to say about it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks guys so much. If you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It's the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests like Word Up that you've heard here on the show. That's discord.me/TTD. And yes, if you aren't in the chat room or in the live stream, we are doing this the live shows now. So come hang out at twitch.tv/thetrainingdummies and give us a follow so you know when we fire up the stream.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got for shout-outs today?
Definitely Word Up. Thank you so much for helping us out and doing the kind of the off typical schedule thing here. Really appreciate it. And you've been on before, and it's super, super awesome to touch base with you again. I want to send a shout out. I don't see him in the chat room, but, to Kranos, to Joe, because, you know, he's been a longtime supporter and friend and IT guy for us. And you know, the enhancement thing kind of is always a throwback to him. So hopefully maybe, we can, this'll spark that interest and get him back in. We will be, shouting out to the raid teams. Great job, you guys, for pushing, you know, we quickly pushed to normal and then got some progression into heroic. So shout out to you guys. And, again, to Daryl for helping do a lot of the legwork and scheduling. Daryl, what do you got, man?
Well, of course, the raid team, that was awesome last night. You know, full clear, and then we managed to get in and get a couple heroic bosses. So that's awesome. And, you know, hopefully we can do that again next week and, keep getting heroic down. Word up. This is really awesome. I'm more excited to play my shaman now. So I think it won't be long until I hit 120 and then start getting into some of that other content.
The forever gearing process.
Yeah, exactly. I want to give a shout out to your wife, Rob, for allowing you to get in here this morning so we could get this show done. And,
We haven't heard any screaming or yelling, so she's got the savages at bay out there.
Yeah, so. And I'll give my kids a shout out too for keeping quiet downstairs. So, well, I did. This.
I saw you at one point. You had to.
I know. My daughter started coming upstairs. I'm like, no, you can't do that. Word up. Do you have any shout outs today?
I could definitely do with giving one to my guild for letting me actually play enhancement through it, because I know that it's had a lot of problems, this expansion. And there's not really many guilds that would actually let someone raid the entire tier through as it, but they basically gave me a free pass, so I took advantage of it. And the other people who do the enhancement theorycraft stuff as well, we have a little Discord that's private, but also the people on Earth Shrine who get involved and actually like contribute things that we can go and test and actually find the things to find out what is the best for a lot of situations.
Yeah, that's nice.
That is much more of a job than just one or two people can do. So having a good team of people that are all really excited about things, even when it's going bad, is really nice.
Awesome. Just real quick, I am Beast11 in the chat room. We don't really do that. We're not quite that kind of show, but I really appreciate you showing up and getting in there. Word up, before we wrap things up here, where can people reach you if they have any questions or anything else about this this topic, or just want to touch base with you?
The best places to find me is on Twitter, usually. I'm on the Friday Reddit threads, usually, as well, for DPS. I'm in there answering questions, usually at least every other week, but usually every week now that progress is over. And the very best place is to just go into the Shaman Discords. I mean, I'm one of the mods in there, so my name comes up at the top, right on the right, pretty quickly. And that's just at discord.gg/earthshrine. It's one of the promoted channels, so it's easy to get through to as well.
Awesome. Yeah.
Right on. All right, that wraps up episode 225 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo! Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo! Woo!
So forget what I said before. Now is when things are getting weird.
Woo! Woo! Oh, a fan, huh? Oh, well, who can blame you?
Thanks for all the love and support.
At patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Minky face.
Perhaps you require more training.
Dummies.
Uther.
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
Look, there's a little note.
Patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please do not operate large machinery or mythical creatures after healing. Side effects may include nausea, dimensional displacement, stomach irritation, and sentient discharges. Always consult a doctor before using
patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Was that not enough jokes? Were you not entertained?